What do you think is the most important part of the Christian faith? I'll leave you to think about that one, okay? Okay? Let's think back to achievements. And the Bible tells you here, look, I mean, when it comes to academic achievements, look, we're reading 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails, but where there is no knowledge, it will pass away. So well, that's going to pass away. In fact, it's already passed away in my head already. Okay. And in terms of other achievements, in Isaiah reminds us all our righteous acts are as filthy rags, aren't they? Before God. The important part of the Christian faith. Let me read from Galatians 6, verse 14. That's our reading, just one verse. Okay. And it says here, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So maybe that's a clue to what I think is the most important part of our Christian faith. I believe it's the cross and all that Jesus achieved. And I want to talk a few minutes about the cross. Let me throw a few more questions at you. What is the Christian gospel? What's it about? What does it proclaim? How can we be made right with God? How can we have life everlasting? What have I got to do in this life and in this world that will make me immune to what happens around me and enable me to even smile at the face of death, hopefully? What assures me that I have nothing to fear when I come to the judgment of God? And which guarantees my eternal life in the glory and presence of God? Well, I think Paul answers all those questions in this great statement to the Galatians. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the very heart and centre of the Christian gospel and the Christian message. And time and again, for Paul, the cross is the central thing that matters above everything else. To the church in Corinth, he writes, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you see how focused he was. He wasn't going to be distracted by the sights of the city or the personalities of those he was visiting inside or outside the church. His focus was on the Lord Jesus and in particular on the cross. What about me? What about you? Who and what is our focus on today? Do we need to refocus? Who knows? Note that Paul didn't say, God forbid that I should glory save in the Sermon on the Mount, or God forbid that I should glory save in the teachings of Jesus. They're important, but they're not at the heart and centre of our faith. Preaching the cross, of course, has never been popular, is it? It's not popular today. Earlier in his letter to the Galatians, Paul speaks about what he describes as the offence of the cross. It's always been offensive to people, hasn't it, talking about the cross. They didn't like it in the first century AD. The Jews didn't like it. The Greeks didn't like it. Nobody liked it. And that's just as true today, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 23 here, Paul says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. That's still very much true today, I think. And the apostles preached the cross, went on preaching, and many of them, of course, suffered martyrdom and death because they persisted. How often are we able to talk to people we meet about the cross? You've probably found it easier to talk to people about God rather than about Jesus. I know that's true for me. The devil doesn't want us to proclaim the name of Jesus, does he? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. These days, Jesus is hardly known or understood or accepted at all. And then the power and the significance of what Jesus did for us on the cross is known and understood and accepted even less and by people around today. So why does Paul glory in the cross? And why should we? Well, it's simple really, isn't it? By what Jesus did on the cross, we are saved. And the cross has set us free, has given us our salvation. It wasn't an accident that Jesus died on the cross. And it wasn't the greatest tragedy of all time, that some might believe. It wasn't even caused by those who were politically minded at the time, or jealous Jews at the time, you know. It was also nothing, you know, something not to be regretted. No, you know, people might think, oh, well, sorry about Jesus dying on the cross. And it's not something to forget or idealize or turn into something beautiful. You know, people wear their little crosses. There's nothing wrong necessarily with wearing the crosses. But in essence, the cross is not something to be beautified. It was a cruel and barbarous means of execution at the end of the day. Instead, though, we should glory in it because it is the means of our salvation. So have you ever really looked at the cross? I'm sure you must have done over the years you've been Christians. Have you ever, with Isaac Watts, surveyed the wondrous cross, as he calls it in his hymn? And what is the Son of God doing there on the cross? Well, Jesus tells us that himself. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He says that in Matthew. So why did Jesus have to die? It wasn't a tragic accident or mistake. It was an essential part of God's plan. The whole Bible, from beginning to end, in a sense, describes that plan. And it's because you and I and all mankind are guilty and under condemnation of a holy God. And Jesus came to deliver us from a world that's doomed to disaster. And Paul says in Romans chapter 3, we've already had a passage from Romans, haven't we? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the sight of God, the most respectable person is as damned as the vilest sinners. Respectability doesn't count with God. Morality is nothing in the sight of God, because all have come short of the glory of God. So why can't God on his own, the love of God on his own, forgive a person who says they're sorry and repents? Why can't God just do that? The Bible says that God is light, and in him no darkness, there's no darkness at all. So God is just, he's holy, he's righteous. And the world doesn't understand that. That's why modern man and woman doesn't believe in the blood of the cross. The world doesn't know what righteousness, being right with God, is, what justice is, or what law is even. It doesn't believe in discipline. So the world's becoming a real hell for that reason. You can see it around us. But God is righteous, and he is the lawgiver, and he is holy. He's so pure that he can't even look on sin. God cannot pretend that he hasn't seen sin. He sees everything. He must punish sin. His holy nature insists on it. So it's a big problem. We're a guilty sinner. And God's a holy God. So how can you bring the two together? The answer is the cross. The cross of Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah? Hallelujah. Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross for each one of us. And why? Well, you remember that, the Easter hymn that I'm sure you all sing quite regularly. One of the verses there says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. So it was only Jesus could do that. As Paul puts it like this, for God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We might be made right with God. And the message of the cross is the gospel. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I always like to go on to the next verse of that famous verse, because it says, John 3:17, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but through the world through him might be saved. So he died, you might say, like the apostle. He says, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me so well, he died for me. And he ever lives to make intercession for me. And who will come again and receive me to himself. So what should our response be to what Jesus has done for us on the cross? Well, I think the writer to the Hebrews sums this up very well. And in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25, we read, Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's what we can do, some of the things we can do in response to what Jesus has done, remembering. So, amen. Well, before I hand over to Yvonne, who's going to lead the presentation for Support FSL, I just wanted to thank you all for your support, particularly in prayer, for the work of Support FSL and for its leaders and the staff of EFSL and for the people in the churches that they support in Sierra Leone. And I know that Jill regularly asks me for updates so that you can particularly pray. I think on the first of Thursday of each month it is, isn't it, that you pray particularly for mission organisations and for Sierra Leone. So thank you so much for that. You wonder why we're all dressed up in all of these clothes, and I'm sweating away in this. Yvonne will tell you all about the clothes and much more. So it's over to Yvonne Antiken. Okay.
Well, since Steve encouraged us to think about our accomplishments, I hope I wasn't distracted too much throughout the sermon, but one personal accomplishment of mine, is this a boast or not? I'm not sure. But I once achieved a bronze medal for a sporting competition in Sierra Leone, sponsored by KLM, the airline. It was a windsurfing competition. Do I look like a windsurfer to you? Actually, there were six entrants in the race. And three of them had such high-performance boards that the first part of the race, where there was almost no wind, they couldn't sail on their boards because their boards just... The wind didn't help their sails keep them up. And at the end of the race, the wind turned against us and was so strong that some of them, it just overpowered them. And so I happened to get a third place medal because I was only one of three that finished the race. That was in Sierra Leone. If I try and boast about things that really came partly, I shouldn't say partly, that are things that I believe that God helped me in, I have to think about the fact that I learned, somebody asked, we were talking about the weather and acclimatization and such, and it's like I never acclimatized to the weather of Sierra Leone. But by God's grace, I acclimatized to the culture of Sierra Leone. And I just feel great gratitude to the Lord that that's a culture in which I've learned to swim through with complete comfort, except when I'm overpowered by the weather. For quite a number of years now, I've been going back to Sierra Leone to work with the Evangelical Fellowship of Sierra Leone, and in part sponsored by Support EFSL, which itself is sponsored in part by you people here at Loham, to join with the Evangelical Fellowship staff in what they call the Traveling Bible School. Now, some of you would know Bill Roberts from way back. He was the one that started this traveling Bible school. And I like to be able to get there preferably at least twice a year to participate with them in the traveling Bible school. And last, when we were here a year ago, I showed you some of the places around the country that we've been able to get to. Unfortunately, though Yvonne comes with me to Sierra Leone on a regular basis, she had never been a part of the traveling Bible school before this time. We did something different this time around, and that's that it was focused on leadership couples. She's going to say a bit more about that, I think, but because of that, it was really important that I not go as a lone single man, that I had my own wife with me, and that we were able to share in this ministry together. But because she went, I thought it's only appropriate that she be the one to share with us this time what her experiences were in Sierra Leone. So Yvonne, come up in and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So good to see you again. We just feel at home here. Is that okay? I even came in my flip-flops for our Sierra Leonean outfits here. And thank you for being such good sports. And poor Steve here, does someone have a tissue for him? You know, our fabric is cotton, three of us. But Steve, it's like a plastic raincoat. It looks very nice, but it's very hot. So we'll start here with, thank you, Jill. I love your hat, by the way. Great, we're going here. Okay, so thanks, Ken, for the intro. I think that just gives us a good start for this. So the Evangelical Fellowship of Sierra Leone, the director is Pastor Gadiru on the left here. On the right is Pastor Bajo. Isn't that a great name, Bajo? And Pastor Bajo is actually the one that leads the training and evangelism team in the country. And he's 60-something, but he's short, but he's mighty. And he is just so enthusiastic. He witnesses to anybody he meets about Jesus. He's just always excited. So it's great to have him as our team leader. We were just following in his program. So praise God. That was a privilege. So as Ken mentioned, the focus was to have seminars for pastors and their wives, or Christian leaders and their wives. And first of all, Ken flew in to Freetown, the capital city, which was home for us for many years back in the day. We had a few days there. You can see we enjoyed this transport. Can't miss it. That was a bus that we took in Freetown. That was great transportation in Freetown. But to go up country where we were going to do the seminars for these pastors and their wives or Christian leaders, we needed something a bit sturdier. So praise God, EFSL, Evangelical Fellowship of Sierra Leone, has a wonderful, robust 4x4. And we all fit in, actually. And, you know, it was tight. And then we had things on top, and we had lots of bottled water with us as well. So this is along the way. From start to finish, we covered, I think,
just over 1,000 kilometers.
Yeah. Shoulder to shoulder, bumping along. And so we got to know each other very well. We all knew each other already. Can I just go back one? Yes, I should just introduce. There's Bajo on the left. Okay, Pastor Bajo, he was our team leader, and he was our driver for all those 1,000 miles. And then on the right is Pastor Charlie. Now, it's the first time we'd met him, and he is assistant for Pastor Bajo. The couple in the middle with us are good, good friends who are Sierra Leoneans, but they are missionaries in Liberia. So they flew over to Sierra Leone to help. So that was the team. We were a team of six. That shows our path. We went to four different major provincial towns. You can see a little bit of squiggling here and there, but yes, we went to four provincial towns, and this is just one of the conference halls that we held the seminar in. Altogether, with all four conferences, like they were varied. Some were large, like this one. Some were a bit smaller, but there were 230 people that participated altogether, which was very encouraging. Now, Pastor Bajo, you can see him here. He was great at just getting everybody all excited. Like, people had come, like, say, to this town. This one was McKinney, I think. anyway, people had come from different areas. They didn't necessarily all know each other. And so they're all just kind of sitting there, you know, quietly, what's going to happen? And Pastor Badger would get up and he'd just get everybody wound up and we'd start singing. And you can see people are laughing and really relaxed. So he was just great. That was his gift, as well as teaching and driving. And so we went through, can you help me there? Thanks, Jill. So we went through many different topics, and these topics were topics that the Evangelical Fellowship had forwarded to us before to prepare. So we were taking on their needs, and there were some real struggles within some of the marriages. And so, we had topics like Ken really did a good foundation on Genesis and how God created us and men and women and how that all works. And then we had issues like Pastor Charlie. He did a great one on forgiveness and relationships. It was really powerful. It was so well prepared, and he would do that as well. Some other, sorry. Going back, please. Yeah, that's one. Thank you. So it was really good. In between the sessions, we would all eat lunch together, and Am I supposed to be pointing this at something?
Here.
I'm sorry?
Over here.
Over here. Okay. One of the challenges was, I think I've missed one here. One of the challenges was the heat. Now, we're a little bit warm today, the last few days, but it was like 36 to 38 degrees, and there's no air conditioning in these halls. And so we were just, like this. And yet the delegates, they were just so hungry, so keen. We just hung in there together, and we'd have these long days of teaching and fellowship. So we praise God for taking us through. One of the other challenges was we had come during Ramadan, and that's the Muslim fast month. And so there were extra prayers going on from the mosques. And on one of those towers there, I don't know if you can quite see it, but there's loudspeakers, and these prayers go out so the whole community can hear. Ken can't hear as well as me, but 5:30 in the morning, I was hearing calls for prayers. But it continued through the day. And so one particular place, it was going for like an hour, and it was during one of the really important sessions that Augusta was teaching. And it was where Christian marriages are impacted by cultural challenges. How do you live as a Christian family, as a Christian couple, when there's all these other society pressures that don't necessarily match up with biblical living? And so she was in the midst of this, and the prayers started really loud, and the mosque was right next door to the church. And of course, all the windows are open and everything. And you know what she did? She thought for a moment. I thought, right. This is probably going to go on. I'm just going to teach louder. So she was shouting, and everybody just leaned in closer. They were so determined not to miss anything. So praise God for her tenacity. She wasn't going to give up. There. Really good times in discussion groups. That's where it could get down more personal. Interacting with the teaching that had been going on, and questions could be brought forward, and oh, there's Charlie with his shirt. See? Like ours. Anyway, this was just a really powerful time. And people didn't hold back. People had questions. They just wanted to interact. And they had questions that they wanted answers to. And we discussed those together. And they helped each other. It wasn't just us. They were interacting with each other. And some of the women had some really serious, heavy things that they really want to bring forward, but they could do it in a group of women, but not in a mixed group, right? And so that was wonderful. And Augusta, of course, being Sierra Leonean, she spoke very openly and candidly and answered questions. And again, they helped each other and they prayed for each other. It's a bit emotional. Sorry. Ah, there's the fish. We ate a lot of fish. I think we ate fish every day. So what I was going to say about this is during the break times, during our meal times, during tea times, was a time we could interact personally with the delegates, and that was really good. So it wasn't just us being up there. We were in fellowship. We were friends. Okay. So, yes. I love her outfit, don't you? And she had a smile to match. It was just great. So she had shared something quite personal, and then we prayed afterwards, and it was wonderful to see that smile. Ah, here's some delegates, three-month-old twins. They were our youngest ones there, I think. And their father wasn't able to come for some reason, but the mom did. She wasn't going to miss. And so she came with her two little ones, and we didn't hear a peep out of them. They were so good, but they were being passed around to everybody. And the mom actually had a break, I think, between feeding them. But she was lovely, a very mature Christian lady, and so we thank God that she was able to come. So it's just after, yes, just after the twins are. Sorry, I'm messing this up a little bit. There we go. I love this picture. It's one of my favorites. Just look at that a minute. Sorry. At times we felt like, Lord, what can we say in a situation? Or we've just come in. We're strangers to many of these people, like our whole team. But it's amazing how the Holy Spirit worked. And I know many of you were praying as well, because you were getting the updates. And so we just praise God for breakthroughs. And this is just wonderful. And we just pray that relationships that were healed and that will continue to grow. And bless God's name. Look at that. You can't beat those smiles, right? That says it all. Well, after the seminars in each place, you can kind of see there's stacks of papers and notes and that. And everybody just scooped them up. They were so excited. We get our own copies. And we didn't give them out during the session, because then people are looking down and that. But at the end, they all got their own. And there was one pastor who said, you know what? These teachings are not going to stay on the shelf. This is what we need for our marriages and our families. And he said, you know, we are going to pass these on to our churches, to our communities. So praise God for that. And that's God's work, isn't it? And we've known that couple. It's an older couple. We've known them for many, many years. They've been faithfully serving the Lord, and yet they still came to the seminar to learn. So that was great. We really needed God's help and the Holy Spirit, and we felt His presence with us. And so we'd spend time in devotions and prayer. And during the trip, we also went to a few churches just to look at some of the projects of EFSL and the roofing projects. And look at this one. This one started as a church in a refugee camp during the war, and it was just bush poles and a UN tarp as a roof. And now they have this church here. They started with a little church, and they built a bigger church on top of it. So it's great. And here's one that we came upon that just hasn't been able to get off its feet. So there's Charlie, Pastor Charlie. He's preaching a little message, and we prayed. We actually took an offering as a team, and we pray that God will just bless that church and that it will grow. I'm getting near then. We met a village church where there's a new roof, and that's what it looked like from the inside. And praise God, it's on the edge of a village, and there are 60 new believers. And we met the young pastor there and some newly baptized believers there. That was exciting. And they're way out. They're remote. And there's just some of them that we met with, because we weren't there actually on the Sunday. Well, going into the villages, remote areas, EFSL really has a heart for that. And so they said, you know what, we need some help. So this is the help that was sent. You know what's in there? That's the projector, the screen, and everything. There's 12 languages, tribal languages, on the card for that. And so, praise God. So there we go. Oh, sorry, I'm getting too excited here. Yeah. And so anyway, there has been great response to that. We brought one with us. And this screen, you can see on both sides, you can see the film of the Jesus film. Sorry. I was thinking. And part of our work as the trustees of the Evangelical Fellowship of Sierra Leone is fundraising. Do you know who that is? That's our brother Steve here and his son Peter. You recognize yourself? This is their big cup of tea after they did a 10K run. Raising money. That's our daughter-in-law in Canada. She's running. She's a trustee. She was running for fundraising for projects for EFSL. And there's Ken, Oh, you got to see him in London. There, there's. Can you see Ken behind the cool guys with the sunglasses? There he is, waving. He made it. Yay! And there we're celebrating. Oh, such an achievement, right? Praise God. You saw Steve's thing there. So we praise God for the work of the EFSL. We thank him for the Holy Spirit and his work, continuing work. And we just want to say we loved it. We loved being with the team. We had lots of laughter, lots of challenges, lots of laughter. But we praise God for taking us through. There we are. And we were still smiling at the end of 1,000 kilometers. We were still good. So God's grace is amazing. So that brings us back to here, to Loham. I think that was last year. And we praise God for all of you. And just the impact you have with your giving and your prayers, it's amazing. And it's a blessing and a privilege. Thank you so much. Let's keep going.